Hey, this is Michael from Modern Musician, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that right now, I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Specifically, we're looking for artists that have at least one song professionally recorded. It doesn't have to be, you know, Beyoncé-level production, but it just needs to be something that you feel proud of and you're ready to promote. We're looking for artists who are really just poised for growth and are ready to go all in on their music. And yeah, there's this saying that when the student's ready, the mentor appears. And so that's you. If you're truly ready for it, then I want to invite you to apply for a free coaching call with our team. The goal is to launch an automated system that allows you to build a loyal and engaged fan base so you can make a sustainable income with your music online without having to sell your soul to social media or post 20 times a day on TikTok. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application and share one of your songs. I'm looking forward to checking out your music, and now let's start the show.
The fact that we can do it, the fact that I, as an indie artist, can hustle to get my music heard and to get a Grammy from that, you know, I think that I'm just saying it's possible. You know, it's you don't need that person to come in and take you there.
It's easy to get lost in today's music industry with constantly changing technology and where anyone with a computer can release their own music. But I'm going to share with you why this is the best time to be an independent musician, and it's only getting better. If you have high quality music, but you just don't know the best way to promote yourself so that you can reach the right people and generate a sustainable income with your music, we're going to show you the best strategies that we're using right now to reach millions of new listeners every month without spending 10 hours a day on social media. We're creating a revolution in today's music industry, and this is your invitation to join me. I'm your host, Michael Walker. All right, so I'm excited to be here today with Carla Petullo. So Carla is a Grammy-winning artist. She wrote an album called So She Howls, which is inspired by a near-death experience and features collaborations with the Scorcio Quartet, violinist Lily Hayden, among many others. And it sounds like she's done some really incredible work with shining a light, you know, on different causes and promoting inclusion for women, immigrants, and LGBTQ plus community. And today I was really excited to be able to connect with her on the podcast, be able to share a little bit about her story and her journey. And I think for all of us as independent artists, whenever we have the opportunity to basically see someone who has been able to do something like what you've done, Carla, and winning a Grammy, is I think for a lot of people who are in this audience, it's a big goal for them. So thank you for taking time to be here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really fun to sit down and chat with fellow musicians in the community. So it's, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
100%. So to start with, maybe you could share a little bit about your background and kind of how did you go from starting out with music to eventually, you know, being able to win a Grammy?
Well, let me tell you this, everything, I feel like a lot of the good things that have happened in my career were like so unexpected and like not planned, you know, like, you know, like it just happened like that. But, you know, to say you got to put all the hard work behind it, right? And I started out, you know, I when I first started playing and got attracted to music, I just always wanted to compose more than learn how to play the piano, learn how to play the guitar. I just had like these ideas like in my head from a very young age. And so I like started, you know, middle school, I started like putting like little EPs together. And, but yeah, like, you know, coming from a family that's immigrated from Italy, you know, my parents were like, you have to go to college. We don't care where or what you study, but you have to be like the first one in our family to go to college. So I was like, fine, I want to go to Berklee College of Music. And being in the state, living in the state of Massachusetts, that kind of made that possible. I'm originally from Springfield, Mass. And so, you know, studying music was, you know, I mean, I was studying songwriting, you know, which is a fun major, you know. I don't know what that major necessarily brought on paper, but it did bring me a lot of, you know, just experience, even just like collaborating with people, and did that and formed a band and went to New York And I've been kind of nomadic in a way, I think, as a lot of musicians are, but then headed out to Austin, Texas, and began working with Sandra Bernhard, who's a comedian musician, and went on tour with her. And that's when I started getting into film scoring, which led me all the way here to LA, which is a bulk of the work that I do, whether it's songs for TV, but also composing the score. And yeah, and then, you know, of course, there's my solo work, which, you know, I've kind of been on the back burner. Like, I was focusing so much on film scores, like the solo work just kind of came out of this like crazy personal experience in my life. So, yeah. Hope that summarizes it all.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm curious, as someone who has sort of stumbled their way through, and you're like, you described, like, luck is where opportunity meets preparedness. And,
right.
You know, at the same time, we have to appreciate the fact that, like, some things just sort of happen, like, out of, you know, you wouldn't have expected them. And that's where the greatest blessings can come from.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what some of the biggest challenges were that you struggled with when you were first getting started with your music.
Well, I think it's, you know, just financially being able to stay afloat, and, you know, and also your boundaries of, like, you know, when you are working in film scoring, your boundaries get messed with a lot because there's crazy deadlines and stuff like that. So I think and through what this album also taught me was, like, just kind of to respect myself and my body, and that will feed into my creativity. So I think, like, you know, just kind of managing, you know, what you can, and but not selling yourself too short either, because you won't have the energy to keep going and be sustainable.
Learning how to set boundaries, especially in an industry where the deadlines are so urgent, so fierce, definitely sounds like that's been, you know, an important lesson to learn. So I know that part of your story is, you know, about a near-death experience, if I read that correctly. Could you share a little bit of details about that?
Sure, because it kind of feeds into what we're talking about, because that's kind of what taught me to respect myself and my boundaries and my body. When I began writing So She Howls, I had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so it was a very therapeutic album for me. Like, you know, it was the first time I wrote an album that I didn't have any plan for it. I didn't even know it was going to be an album. It was literally like, I need to do something to get out of bed in the morning and motivate myself to fight and to get through this experience. And so, yeah, like, I mean, thinking that, you know, the fact that it would go on to get a Grammy is just still, I'm still like, what happened? Is this a beautiful dream? Like, just totally unexpected. And I think, you know, I think maybe it's because it really came from this moment that it was just a necessity. The music was just this thing I needed. It was very fundamental to, like, when we all began probably writing music in our lives, you know, where, you know, we just loved it so much and we weren't thinking about our bills and we weren't thinking about deadlines. We were just had this pure joy for it. And, you know, as horrible as an experience it was going through breast cancer, it allowed me to get into this fundamental place with music again. And that was a really incredible experience. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
I'm
sorry they had to go through that experience. I can imagine that it must have been, you know, incredibly challenging. And also it's an interesting reminder of just how sometimes those challenges can become a blessing. And they can help, you know, teach us things. And so having been through that experience, you know, it sounds like part of what you mentioned with setting boundaries and learning how to respect yourself and respect your body was something that came out of it. Could you share a little bit more details about how that came up for you?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, you know, before breast cancer, it was like this thing where when I would work, I would spend countless hours, like, sitting in a chair for, like, you know, the whole 16 hours or whatever. And I kind of would pride myself on that, like, oh, like, you know, because we're working and we're, you know, we're hustling to, you know, be composer and to, you know, whatever. And I think that mentality, I personally found it to be wrong in the end. I think, you know, I'm actually much more efficient and a better composer when I think about, you know, the food I'm eating, the walking I'm getting, the, if I give my body and my mind space to live, I mean, it sounds pretty like, you know, like it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's only like what every scientific study has been telling us for like a long time. But yeah, sometimes best practice doesn't, you know, sometimes it's hard to actually apply, you know, the lessons that we know that we should be doing.
Yeah, and you're asking your body, like you're asking yourself for this energy to make this music. And it's like, well, you got to feed yourself. You got to like, you know, and I had to do this because I was sick. So I think it would have been really hard to do that, you know, but, you know, I notice myself now, even it's like, I don't start working. I don't start doing things until I go out for my, like, you know, 2-3 mile walk in the morning, come back. I make sure I get all the things my body needs. I take time to prepare my food. I know I sound super nerdy, but
I'm right there with you. Yeah.
No, but it's like, but I'll tell you, I'm not less efficient. I feel like I'm more creative. I feel better. When I sit down to write, I'm quicker. I just feel ready to go, you know? And yeah.
It is powerful. I mean, what that reminds me of is it was Abraham Lincoln who described like the sharpening the saw concept. And it sounds like what you're saying is, you know, similar to that analogy, a lot of us feel like, especially in today's like culture that prides itself on like hustle culture and working really hard and overworking, that there can be a tendency to like, if the analogy is like cutting down the tree, it's like to spend every day, every hour trying to cut down the tree with the saw. But right. What you're saying is that, you know, if you actually take care of yourself and you don't just spend all of your time cutting down the tree, but you actually take breaks and you actually sharpen the saw, then you're not less productive because you're not spending more time cutting. You're actually more productive because you have a sharp saw, so it's able to cut faster.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. And I think, you know, like I grew up in the restaurant business. So for me, like that hustle and that, like, you know, being like so busy that you can't, like you're on edge the whole time is like this was for me, this like signature of, oh, I'm a hard worker. And so I've had to really shift that mentality.
That's super helpful. Yeah. I mean, it does seem like it's part of like the culture right now is like there is sort of like a hustle, you know, mentality. Yeah. So could you share a few extra examples of like ways that you've learned how to take care of yourself and your body and kind of get in a good space so that you're able to be more productive?
I think like one thing is I like to, you know, in the morning, I like to wake up and do my walks, but also have music with me that I just really love and give myself the space to enjoy the music elements that I love. Be a little like, you know, greedy with yourself. Like, don't think about your work just yet. Get in the space of like, you know, yeah, this is what inspires me. Like, this is fantastic. I love this song and, you know, sit in it, just do like a 20-minute walk, you know, and take that in. And I think that's like just one way. I think also, you know, if I'm doing a lot of the film scoring stuff and I, you know, don't have time to necessarily focus on my album that day, I still give myself 20 minutes to just explore that space and, you know, just to connect with it. Even if it's brief, I think just connecting with it, I think that helps me grow with this concept that I'm working on, even if I'm not working on it for 8 hours or whatever. Yeah.
Super smart. Yeah. That reminds me of a book. I think it was called The Spark was all about the benefits of walking and running. And they found like a huge impact in just the brain activity and the test results when they had people go for like a 20-minute walk versus someone who was just sitting down. And it definitely seems like there's some magic in that, just like going for a walk regularly throughout your day.
Yeah, I think, you know, being composers and musicians, we sit down a lot and our bodies want to move. And I think it's like a synergy that happens when your body's moving and then like the creativity starting to wake up and starting to move. And I think that's, you know, I think that's a good way to like put a little fuel in your tank, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I know that there's some a lot of very smart people too who were, I was going to say prudent, but that's not the correct word. They're ardent. That's another word I don't use very often, but they were ardent walkers. You know, they would go for a walk. Yeah. Like Albert Einstein was an example of someone who apparently just like went for tons of walks throughout. There's also big pockets of what they call blue zones, where people's health and lifespans are like way above average. And one of the main differentiators that they would go for walks throughout the day. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm one of those people in LA who like, walks, you know, I have like, me and my partner have one car, but like, of course, we cannot live here without a car, but we've make paths to where we can walk to. And it's, you know, it is, I think, you know, something, you know, the hard thing is that when you are so busy, and like, even for people who have kids, and like, you're so busy, and you're just finding that moment to get into the studio, it's hard. So I would just, you know, you recommend even just 5 minutes, you know, start off with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And that's, you know, another point that you had brought up with the creativity and kind of setting aside some space, you know, to work on what brings you to life. And even if it's not 8 hours, you know, setting aside 5 to 20 minutes to do it doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know, you set aside a huge chunk, but just that little bite seems like a great way to generate momentum.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'd love to hear some more insights in terms of, maybe you could share your journey of creating your album and what that journey was like. And you mentioned that, you know, you didn't necessarily expect like going into it that is going to win a Grammy award. Curious to hear a little bit more about that journey and what that looked like for you.
Yeah. You know, so it really was like kind of like this diary of things and of what I was going through. And it was very much like in motion. It's like following the motion of my road to healing, really. So, but, you know, I think like, you know, what I usually do for recording an album was thrown out the window. And in this case, I just started singing and humming and howling. That's how I came up with the album title. But, you know, at first I would just be in my phone, you know, just kind of like had these ideas coming out, but really didn't have the motivation to get up and make an album or to record or whatever, you know? And, you know, as I was getting, you know, when I was going through treatment, you know, like some may know with cancer, at first you really don't know anything, like what type of cancer you have, what's happening, you know, all that. And you're in this unknown. And that's kind of where I was in this frozen state where I couldn't really do anything. But as I started my treatment and my medicine started working, I was getting that energy. And so I was able to step by step get up and like, okay, well, maybe I'll just put a microphone and just record on my laptop and, you know, just something very simple. And that's where it really started, because I, you know, I would just record these vocals and they would just be live of like, you know, okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. And that ended up becoming the fundamental part of some of these compositions. You know, I kept all these vocals. They were very raw. Like I probably, you know, like the editor in me would have went in and like, oh, let me tweak that and tweak that. But I like did not do that. I wanted to preserve that energy. I didn't go record anything. And I think that was important. I think that kind of led the way of like, this album's going to be, it's going to be like an archive thing. Like of, you know, what I went through. It's going to be like almost like the way you would treat a documentary, right? It's like, we're recording this time and space in my life. And so I tried to honor that along the way. And, you know, and then as I started getting better, I started reaching out to some musicians to come on and, you know, give me a bit of their wings, you know? So I hope that people get that feeling of, you know, that magic when you perform with you have collaborators join you and kind of lift you up, or, you know, and that translates to the friends or the family you have in your life that lifts you up, you know, when you're down. So just kind of all unfolded in this way that was just really resonating with me personally, and how I was feeling emotionally. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's definitely interesting hearing you share that story. And it sounds like you have some direct experience about different modalities, different ways of recording, and how that experience was, very authentic, very raw, came from this place. So it was really like very emotional, and versus, maybe some other kinds of styles of music might be a little bit more like intentional or more focused on writing for sync or TV. So I feel like it's an interesting lesson in sort of the power of authenticity and the power of writing music that lights something up in you.
Yeah. And I think like too, before COVID, I began my breast cancer journey during COVID. But before that, I had this idea too. Like, I think there's space for these live tattoo projects to come out, where we're just performing again in front of, two stereo mics or whatever. We're all playing together. I had been listening to some music like that, and it's like, this is so refreshing, just to have like these live raw performances. And anyways, but these imperfections, I think that's something else with this album. It's like embracing those imperfections and don't tune everything. Don't, love things that are slightly out of tune, because that's human. As we're dealing with these non-human elements, I think we need to embrace this,
Super interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really encouraging message, because all of us are human and we're not perfect. And who we are is, something that is as different. It gets not black or white. And so being able to actually embrace that and share that seems like a powerful lesson. I don't know, nowadays in the age of AI, things are evolving so quickly. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on AI in music.
Yeah, like these like non-human elements I think that emotion, what it translates to is an emotion for the listener to feel vulnerable. Because it's like when you hear something, that's just not, perfect. I think, like, for example, there's a song I play on this album live called We Remember, and it chokes me up every time I sing it. And I choke up on stage every time. And I feel like after the show, people come up to me and they're like, "We Remember made me cry." And I'm like, well, it made me get it, But that vulnerability, I think, translates. I think, like, I don't know, I think there's something special in that. And I think we should just own it and, carry that forward.
Thank you for sharing that. There's a song that I wrote recently for my daughter Willow called Hello Willow, and that's one that I can't play it without getting emotional and crying through it.
So hearing
you share that is inspiring for me to to give myself permission to share that and be okay with it.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We've got an amazing crew of musicians who are here in the audience.
Awesome.
And I'd be curious to hear if anyone here has any questions for Carla. If so, feel free to raise your hand, come on here live, or if you want to put something in the chat, that works as well. Looking here in the chat, I see Joe says, "I'm a walker too." Walkers, it's a movement. My last name is Walker. walking is good. Yeah, aside from the name. Daniel, so it looks like I'm catching up on some older messages around when you're talking about recovery and rest and treating your body with respect. Daniel mentioned spontaneous napping and face nuzzling with my dogs throughout the day recharges my sense of peace. Multiple times throughout the day, I stop what I'm doing and soak up their wisdom. Also going outside and stretching in the sunlight.
That's great. Yeah.
I also see some inspiring messages here. Joe says, "Cancer has ravaged the lives of so many people in my life. I feel you, Carla. Rock on."
Right.
Here's a question for you, Carla. This is one of my favorite questions to ask is, if you could go back in time and you could go to, your biggest point of need in your music journey, when maybe you was at your rock bottom or your darkest, most challenging point, if you could go back to that point and you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I think when I first started touring, Those were some rocky times, you know. I think I really, you know, got out of this, you know, healthy boundary with my body. I think that was a real time period where, you know, I just pushed myself so hard to the point of almost like destruction and like not wanting to do music, you know. There's, I would say, like, you know, just that unsustainable mentality I had back then. I wish I could have told myself to balance my energy out and, you know, not think it's the end all be all, you know, like getting on the road is, you know, was important to my growth. But I think, you know, pushing it to the point where I pushed it, where, you know, we were just try to find places to sleep and, you know, all the that stuff that is kind of toxic, you know, and just not putting so much pressure on myself, I think. And I'm like powerful. Telling everybody the opposite of like, I don't want anyone to think like, I don't think you should work hard, but
work hard but, is good, but working smart
working
and
smart
care of yourself is, I mean, cause if you don't do that, like who cares how successful you are on paper? Like if you're not fulfilled or happy or, you know, healthy, then you know, it doesn't seem like that any of that other stuff really even makes a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I can definitely relate with you early on. So I toured for about 10 years before I started Modern Musician. And I remember the first year we like hustled real hard and we were sleeping in our van, Walmart parking lots, peanut butter tortillas for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I'm curious, any advice or recommendations you would have for the modern musician, like an independent musician who... Maybe they're interested in, maybe part of their goal is like long-term, they'd like to win a Grammy, or maybe it's not a Grammy. Maybe it's like, you know, they just want to know that their music is actually making a difference and positively impacting the lives of other people. What would be some piece of advice for the modern musician?
Well, I think like, first of all, I would start off by saying that, you know, we are in a great indie place. I think we could achieve a lot without... You know, I think for years I wanted a label, I wanted this or that. And I think there's this great space for us to really be able to hold on to who we are as artists, but also, you know, use the tools out there that the labels use. It's a little bit, I feel, more of a playing field. I mean, of course, they have a lot more money than us. But I think like, there is a hustle of like being able to communicate and reach people online. And that's cool. Like we haven't, you know, that's this thing that, you know, I would say when I first started out that wasn't there. And I think that allows us to be authentic with ourselves more than trying to fit this, like, you know, this, what this trend is right now or what that is, you know, what, like who we should be according to what labels want us to be. I think it gives us this artistic freedom. I think that being said, there's also like, we're not making album on sales really. You know what I mean? Like we're just Spotify and all the way that everything's set up. It's not really, you know, it's hard to be sustainable with some of these. So I think we just have to, you know, try to find creative ways of connecting and performing and holding on to who we are and holding on to, you know, there was an interview I heard recently with Bonnie Raitt, who I was so inspired by. It was on this podcast called Wiser Than Me, which is Julia Louis-Dreyfus. But anyways, she was talking, reflecting on her life, and she kind of went into this whole thing that she's independent these years and she got away from the labels and she puts on her business hat, she puts on her artist hat, and she does a lot of business work. And I think, you know, I think accepting that and being able to wear both hats is something that we should really, you know, get good at. You know, I'm still always going to be working on getting better with the business part. You know, I think it's tricky, you know, and just trying to navigate that. But I think like, but the fact that we can do it, the fact that I, as an indie artist, can hustle to get my music heard and to get a Grammy from that, you know, I think that I'm just saying it's possible. You know, it's you don't need that person to come in and take you there.
So yeah. Awesome. so encouraging to hear you say that too. Like, you just, what you just shared is like the heart and the mission and the ethos of Modern Musician and everything that, you know, that we focus on here. So it's great to hear that reflected as well. How about, I mean, here's something that I'd be curious to hear your perspective on. You know, as someone who's had, you know, this musical experience where you're able to share and use your music as almost like a form of therapy, for someone who's listening to this right now, who's an indie artist, who has ambitions to, you know, build a successful career, how can they tap into that authentic source of creativity? And you know, how can they maybe write music from that place, as opposed to what you described as like trying to be someone or trying to be what other people think? Do you have any ideas or prompts or ways that people can maybe get in touch with that for themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's the first, you know, like the first track on the album, for example, I'll just start with that because it's called If You Listen. And I think it's about listening to yourself and you know, really listening to what's around you and taking that with you. I know it's like, I was pushed into this because of my illness, like pretty like, you know, this is it, Carla, like, you know, I had to listen. Right. But I think just that connection of like, you know, listen, you know, with your environment, like where you are, like, let that be a part of your sound. Let the people around you be a part of your sound. And, you know, sometimes it's like more like listen to yourself more than, you know, trying to have that urge to listen to another artist that you love. I mean, sometimes like some of my favorite artists, like I love listening to her music, but I kind of limit myself doing that because I just want to take time to like explore really different things, you know, and, you know, give myself a little bit. I mean, I think maybe that could be a starting point too. I think like, you know, just listening to really stuff that is completely not you and, you know, and just like maybe an element of that can become yours and you can listen to that and like transform that into how it, that is you, how that relates to you. And, you know, just expose yourself to these different things. Yeah. That helps. But yeah.
Super helpful. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. So it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is that it can start with just being present and listening and being aware of what's happening inside of you. And, you know, part of the hustle kind of culture is, you know, maybe trying to be somewhere else or trying to achieve something or do something or busy. Like, but, you know, if you actually give yourself space, like you described, to actually just sit with who you are and to listen to actually what's happening, then that can be this where that place of authenticity can come from.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add like another fun little thing, it's like the same as like learning a new instrument. Like when you're kind of in this unknown and vulnerable place where you're like figuring out yourself. So I like to do that. I like to like pick up an instrument that I don't know. And sometimes like I'll just play notes, not knowing where I'm going, and I'll come up with a cool progression. And there's something about that that's like, it's fun, but it kind of wakes up those senses of like, you know, like listen, like let's listen to what I'm doing here. It makes you kind of more alert, I think.
Yeah, it's like a lot more playful or like curious. You're trying to seeing what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of folks who raised their hands in the audience. So, okay. Mr. Joe Eddy, let's bring you on stage. Hey, Joe. How are you doing today?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Carla.
Hey, Joe.
Thanks for being here, Carla. Congrats on the
thank you.
Grammy and the successful work of art and beating cancer. Cancer has played a big role in my life with my wife and children, and it's crazy. So the battle.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious on, now that you've found some success with your art and it's been validated with a Grammy and you have things on track, what's your daily life like now? What are you working on now creatively? And what's what are some of your ambitions and goals now that you've kind of reached this, this level that a lot of us, what's next? What does the horizon become now?
Well, it's funny. That's a great question because, you know, like I think it's, I'm still doing the things I love. So like that hasn't changed, right? Like it's, you know, maybe there's a little bit more of an opportunity of like, you know, more people might listen to it right now, or I don't know, like maybe there, I will say in the film scoring part, I've gotten some gigs out of it, thankfully. So that's, you know, those always keep the lights on and like, and it's cool. Cause I feel like now, like with the film scoring part, people are starting to say, oh, we want to come to you for your sound. We want to come for that thing that you do. And so I really love that. I think, you know, a door that's open for me is kind of music therapy. Just the idea of incorporating some of those techniques into music and really, you know, kind of writing music that incorporates like these elements of, I mean, it's pretty, I just feel like I've opened the door to music therapy and like, you know, started researching things like binaural beats and included some of that on the album, but I think there's so much more and I love to learn. So I'm excited to really dive into that. Yeah.
Super cool. I'm excited to hear what comes from that.
New album.
Yeah. Joe also put in the chat, all caps. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think we probably have time for maybe one more question here. And I see the one and only Daniel Cartier has got his hand up. So let's bring Daniel on stage. Hey, Daniel.
Hello, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for coming and sharing. This has been a really awesome, amazing podcast today. And I really like that you shared about picking up different instruments and just kind of like going, like just allowing yourself to unlock different parts of your mind that you wouldn't normally. And I write a lot, you know, I'm a member of some of these kind of, I don't know if they're cheesy or not, but like a member of these like communities where they let you know, hey, like this TV show's looking for this. And so they need like this. And so then everybody like scrambles around. It's kind of like a cattle call, but like,
right.
I still think like being part of those things can force you to just start. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, I guess, a little bit, like putting yourself in situations where, you know, you're kind of forced to like, even if you know it's a long shot, like a great example is like they were looking for creepy circus music. And like specifically like calliopes and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm literally covered in tattoos. Like I look like the tattooed man from the carnival. I kind of became mildly obsessed with like recording. Like I couldn't stop like every public domain song like I wanted to record and then like making up. But then the weird thing is like it got me really, it's weird how like different types of music will remind us of other types of music. And so then I found myself listening to show tunes because it was reminding me of show tunes because it was theatrical. And then I was like listening to stuff like the Cabaret soundtrack and stuff. And then I started writing songs that were like real, like more like singer-songwriter songs that had nothing to do with the challenge at all. But like, yeah, so I guess I'd like to get your thoughts on like these type of, like putting yourself in situations where you'll kind of be forced to, and you've probably had a lot of experience just through working the whole soundtrack arena as well, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I still put together reels and like, you know, for projects. So it's a tricky balance between that and your solo artist work. First of all, I just want to say that, but you know, I think like all these projects, you're like a sponge and I think you're doing everything right. Like you're like absorbing all these sounds and you're honing them into yourself. You're making them your own, you know, like you're taking it in and you're going to process that and create something beautiful that's yours. And I think that's great. I also think, you know, for me doing some of these, you know, things where, you know, putting together demos or writing demos for a project that I want to get, there's always something great that can come out of that, whether I learn a new tool, you know, my production gets better. I think everything I do can get like a lot better. Just, you got to keep going till the day you die. Like you just got to get better. Right. And I think that's just, you get better. And as you go, and I think these experiences of making these demos, or even if it's just the experience of, even if you didn't write the demo and you took that time to take all this in, that's fantastic. And, you know, and then of course, like, you know, you think business wise with all these demos, you're getting better. And you can also maybe, you know, put those demos in a library somewhere and they can make a little bit of money or whatever. And it's all great what you're doing. I think, you know, yeah, keep that. It's great.
Awesome. Yeah. It's
I hope I answered your question. I don't know. I kind of just went off on it, but
yeah, no, I think it sounded like the question was mainly in terms of like that specific strategy of like of writing songs, yeah, in response to, you know, sync projects. Like, is that helpful, or is there better ways to spend the time? And it sounds like what you're saying is like, no, like, yeah, it'd be a great way to generate some ideas, exactly, and brainstorm. Cool. Well, Carla, thank you again so much for taking the time to be here with us today and to share, you know, your journey and share, you know, some of the lessons that you learned.
Thank you.
Yeah, I try to remember the fact that we're living on borrowed time here, that, you know, life is very precious and it's easy to forget that. So whenever I can have a conversation with someone like yourself that has been able to work through that and come, you know, be able to share that lesson, I think it's incredibly inspiring. And, you know, thank you for, I'm sure, like the courageousness that was required to sort of put that into your music and then like to share it and to put it out. Yeah, I'm sure that pushed you in a lot of ways. So thank you for doing that. And for anyone that's here right now who's like, okay, cool, like I've heard all about the album now, I'd love to go check it out and listen to it because it sounds awesome. What's the name of the album? Where they can go? Where's the best place for them to go check it out?
Yeah, the album's called So She Howls, and you could really go. It's on all of the platforms. I will say on Apple, you can listen to it. It was done with immersive. It was like an immersive mix. So you could, yeah. You can listen to it a little bit more in depth there. I had a fantastic mixer, Daniel Cresco, mix it. So yeah,
that's it. I know the first album I'm going to listen to on my Apple Vision Pro is going to be She Howls. Actually, though, I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be the first album. It's probably the AirPods, I think, are the things that are going to do like the 3D sound kind of thing.
Yeah, the AirPods. Actually, this is why I got these AirPods, was to listen to my own album when it was getting mixed on that platform. Yeah, so.
Very cool. All right. Well, like always, we're going to put all the links in the show notes for easy access. And let's give a virtual round of applause for Carla.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah! Hey, it's Michael here. I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Make sure to check out the show notes to learn more about our guest today. And if you want to support the podcast, then there's a few ways to help us grow. First, if you hit subscribe, then that'll make sure you don't miss a new episode. Secondly, if you share it with your friends or on your social media, tag us. That really helps us out. And third, best of all, if you leave us an honest review, it's going to help us reach more musicians like you who want to take their music careers to the next level. The time to be a modern musician is now, and I look forward to seeing you on our next episode.